You're listening to Nebraska on Tap. This podcast will tap you into the Natural Resources District, managing Nebraska's water since 1972. Whether you are a farmer, rancher, or citizen of Nebraska, this podcast was made for you. Time to tap into this week's episode. This podcast is hosted by Heather Dismang and brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nebraska on Tap. Thanks again for tuning in, because today we're diving into the world of agriculture with a dynamic duo. Ever wondered what it's like to live a life rooted in the land? Well, join us as we chat with Barb and Don Beatty, a couple who have made agriculture their life's work. From evolving technology to heartwarming family traditions, we'll explore the heart of rural America featuring these two. So stay tuned as we talk about their rich history in farming and journalism.
Well, hello, I'm Barb Bierman Beatty, and I am a freelance correspondent for a number of farm publications and on occasion do special writing for local dailies or local weeklies. I've been a reporter, photographer specializing in agriculture stories for at least, I want to say, 40 plus years. I started in college as a correspondent when I was an exchange student to Germany, wrote monthly articles for our local daily. I grew up on a farm near Battle Creek, a small dairy farm. And the farm editor at the Norfolk Daily News encouraged me to do those while I was gone. And so I kind of count 1980 as the year I started writing. Had the agriculture background and learned my passion for writing when I was a staff writer for the Nebraska 4-H Club Week newspaper, The Cloverleaf, back in 1973. One of our stops was at Omaha World Herald that year, and I met the first female managing editor at the World Herald, and Deanna Sands kind of became a mentor over the years, especially after I got into Nebraska Presswomen. And from there, I went to the university and had a double major in home ec and journalism. As I got toward the end of my collegiate studies, I had a lot of electives on the journalism major and started taking some beginning ag classes on East Campus. Learned that I really enjoyed the agriculture reporting more than the home ec reporting I thought I would do when I graduated. And it ended up, as I started working for various weeklies and dailies, I would get assigned farm stories because A, I grew up on a farm, and B, I'd had these classes and could give a good background, and that prepped me for what I'm doing today, and that's basically ag photography and writing.
Yeah, and then Don, your husband, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, Don Beatty. I am a fourth generation of my family to farm here in Dawson County, north of Lexington, and that spans 151 years. My great-grandparents homesteaded here in 1873. Haven't moved very far. In fact, we are living in the house that my parents built when I was 10 years old. My dad was born just a few feet away in the old house, so three generations in the same yard. Been farming all my life, getting close to starting to retire. Our oldest daughter is going to start on the farm next spring, and so she'll be the fifth generation on the farm.
And you folks are amazing because you're always at all the ag events. I've said this once, I'll say it again. I always know that it's going to be a good time when the Beatties are there. Don, you've been to a lot of things for the Central Platte on a lot of their new technology that they have been introducing. You've been kind of the test pilot for it. And then it's kind of nice because Barb writes a lot of the stories about some of those things.
Right. I've always been fairly cutting edge. I'm not usually maybe the first person to try it, but I may be the second person to try new technologies. And lately, we've been doing a lot of work on fertilizer management, specifically nitrogen management, and have partnered with Central Platte Natural Resource District on a couple studies trying to reduce the amount of nitrogen we apply, but at the same time, maximizing our returns.
Right.
And so it's been a great partnership working with the new companies, working with Central Platte, and we get to see what works, what doesn't work, what tweaks we need to make. And so that's one of many different projects areas that we keep trying to study.
Yeah. And outside of this, Barb, you attend a lot of ag conferences, such as like extension conferences, the Governor Ag Convention. What's your favorite thing about attending those and being at those ag conferences?
Well, there's two things. First, I always get to see a lot of fellow ag producers when I attend those events. And second, it is important to take the information that is shared at those conferences and conventions and share it with non-ag folks so that they kind of get an understanding of the state's number one industry, which is agriculture. It surrounds them all the time, and sometimes they don't realize the role that plays in their lives. So it helps if someone can take that information, a lot of it, which these days is very technological and very scientific. And because of the ag classes I took back in college, I'm able to take that information and get it into layman's terms, because every industry has their own special, what we call speak. Mm-hmm. And ag speak is no different than teacher speak or tech speak. And if we can get that into terms people can understand, they have a better ability to relate perhaps to the farming public.
And how fun is it that Don gets to do a lot of the stuff that some people get to talk about at some of these conferences? And so you kind of get experience it firsthand both ways, from them talking about it and doing it, right?
That's correct. And it's, you know, we kind of call ourselves Team Beatty on occasion because a lot of times Don will be on a panel or he'll be a featured speaker and I'll be covering him. But, and he also helps out quite a bit because he proofreads a lot of my stories just for accuracy and also to make sure I've used the correct terms and defined them correctly. Because even growing up on a farm and living the farm, there's still some things that can be tweaked and fine-tuned when you're sharing them with others.
Yeah, Team Beatty for sure. And how do you guys keep all your activities and board duties straight? Because you both are very active in the community that way, and I appreciate that.
Well, we do share a calendar on our phones and our iPads. And so I put my stuff in and Barb puts her things in. And I've told her and other people that if it's not in my phone, it doesn't exist and it won't happen. So, we both learned that we have to, you know, we may remember a meeting, but if we need to put it in the phone so that the other one knows that we have a meeting and that we're going to be in whatever town that night, so, you know, plan meals accordingly or plan trips accordingly. If we can, we try to double up so that we go to a lot of the same functions, especially a lot of the extension meetings we both go to a lot of times, because it is a good networking that I always learn something at every conference. Even if I'm a speaker at a conference, I still learn from the questions that are asked. You never quit learning.
Right. You never quit learning, for sure. Barb, for you, how does this work out for you where you have to go to the event, take the photos, and then write a story about it?
Usually pretty handy, because this would probably segue into all the technology we've been able to take advantage of, because I have graduated from using a notepad, the traditional reporter's notepads that we used for years and years. I now, most of the time, except when I'm outdoors and walking or something, use an iPad to take notes at these conferences, because it saves me a lot of time. I don't have to rewrite from the notes. I can usually cut and paste with my iPad to get the article finished to send to the various publications I'm writing for.
I know, I always see you strapped down with so much technology. You have your camera around your neck and your iPad in your hand and your notebook in your other pocket. And it's just fascinating to watch you try to keep everybody's story straight, too. And your stories are amazing to read. So if nobody has you freelance for the North Platte Telegraph sometimes, right, and write stories for them. And then what other publications do you also freelance for?
Well, I've written for just about every daily in the state over the years, either through their wire network or because of a special request. Mm-hmm. And in Dawson County, I have written for every weekly that is in the county. And then I have done some regional publications as well as one international publication. So I can say I've been internationally published. And that came about because of my exchange student time. One of my host sisters went on to become an ag editor at a German agriculture magazine called Deutsche Agrar. And over the years, two different times, she has asked me to write an article, usually about American agriculture or something dealing with international trade. And then I will send it and she will edit it up. Most of the time I can send it in German and then she'll flush it out, because my grammar, even though I'm fairly fluent, my grammar isn't always the greatest media publication. But yeah, that's been an interesting side thing for me over the years.
And right now you primarily write for the Midwest Messenger.
Right.
Yes.
Mostly Midwest Messenger.
That's very nice. And so how has the technology at the Beatty Farm changed over the years for you guys?
Extensively. Our technology has really changed. Reminded that my dad started farming in 1937 with horses.
Mm-hmm.
And just from his generation to my generation, now we have all of our tractors with GPS technology, auto steer. We try to use the technology to increase our profits, so that we are using variable rate seeding, variable rate fertilizer, variable rate water, trying to maximize our return and minimize our input costs. So it's a lot of technology that we now go to the fields with, you know, with basically another computer in the cab. At harvest this year, we hire our harvest custom done, but I was able on my phone to log into the monitor in the combine and watch along as he was, seeing the yield and moisture contents as he was driving through the field. It's just amazing technologies that are out there now.
Right. Instead of the horses in front of you, they're under the hood now. And
yeah,
they drive a little straighter.
And from the news standpoint, when I started in the news business, we were just getting the first computers. Those required a lot of coding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were still some of the dailies around. We're using Linotype machines yet. I entered the news business at a very big change in technology. So we went from those initial computers, and I had one of the first forerunners of a laptop in a
Tandy
100. I started using it when I was at the Norfolk Daily News in 1983, and we thought it was a wonder when we would used it the first time to go cover elections at the Madison County Courthouse. And we could send a short story with the election results back to the newspaper over the telephone line. And when I started working as a correspondent right after we got married for the North Platte Telegraph, Don had an Apple III computer, and the regional editor's husband was also very computer savvy, and he hooked us up with a telephone modem so that I could send stories from my home. So I've been working from home for 39 years. First the telephone modem, and then eventually today's type style computers. We thought it was amazing to be able to send a story in 10 minutes over the telephone lines. And those Tandy 100s allowed me to go cover area football games in the 80s and the 90s, because I could use them, write the story after the game, and either come home and send it from home, or if we were further away, I'd always call ahead and visit with the athletic director, and they would find me a phone in the school. The biggest challenge was this had to be a single dedicated line. Oh. I couldn't send over a multi-phone line, which most of the schools had, you know, to go to different rooms and different areas of the school.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it that was very cutting edge. And then when we switched from film cameras, when I first started, we were developing our film in a little dark room in the bathroom at the newspaper and making prints to the digital cameras where you'd take them. And again, you could send them at first over the telephone lines and then eventually with the computers through the internet. That happened about the mid 90s. And now it's a matter of seconds. I can send a complete story or a photo.
Really quick, how big were those first computers that you hauled around?
The Tandy was about the size of most of today's bigger laptops.
Well, that's not too bad.
But then. It was thicker. Yeah, it was thicker. It was about 2 inches thick, but it could only hold a very small screen. I could see about four lines of type.
I know. Now, if we still had that technology, we'd all be bogged down. So, yeah, it is really awesome that you have worked with all of that through all those years.
Yeah, it is. And that, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, people are so used to getting news instantaneously now that that's part of the problem with the demise of a lot of local newspapers. They turn to other sources for their news, and we're seeing a lot of local and daily paper struggle.
I know, and it's hard too, because I feel like a lot of people miss that aspect of community when those papers do go away, and when they see somebody local write about in a way that, you know, pertains to the area that you're writing it for.
Very much so. It's a struggle. It, you know, is more economical to put stuff up on Facebook when you're promoting an event, but don't forget your local paper, because there are still people, and especially, well, in Nebraska Sandhills, where the broadband isn't as convenient or as widespread, they still need a printed version because they can't download a daily. And you're also, we used to call the weeklies the scrapbook papers, because those were the ones that ran the birthday announcements, the wedding announcements, and your obituaries. And now we're losing a lot of local history because it's all online and not getting in print.
Yeah, I feel like it gets a little lost online too, going through. It's kind of fun. I was cleaning my grandma's stuff up, and it's always so great to find something physical to look at, to, you know, read and see all the past things and stuff like that, and be able to share that out with others, and, you know, have it always, because on the internet, things can kind of get shuffled around, or it takes a long time to find it, or there's a special keyword you don't know to find it.
Correct.
Well, that's great. Well, I hope you guys had a great weekend, and I really thank you for everything that you've talked about with us today and on Team Beatty and the impact that you guys have in the community and the area, and I want to thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, and we should just mention, too, that I know a lot of people might have read your guys' love story, but we'll just touch on it really quick. You actually interviewed Don for one of your articles, correct? And then you guys hit it off past that?
My very first assignment after I started working in Dawson County back in 1981, I was to put together what they called the Cattleman Special, which was a tabloid that featured all the stops on the Dawson County Cattleman's Tour for that year. That always took place on President's Day. And my very first interview was here at the farm with Don's and his dad, and they were one of the stops that year. And we that was the first time either one of us had met. We'd kind of known who each other was in college because I had mutual friends. I went to chapel at the university with about four of his fraternity brothers. He dated a couple of girls on my dorm floor and taken them to formals, but we never really connected in college. Well, it took a little longer because his dad looks as I drive out of the yard to go on to the next stop for the interview, and he goes, pretty cute reporter there. Well, Dad likes her. There's something suspect here. But we got involved with a young singles group in town. There were a lot of college graduates came back to Lexington about the same time, or like myself, moved in from someplace else. Mm-hmm. And eventually, yeah, then he finally got me out on a date.
And here we are. So thank you guys so much again. We'll talk to you guys later. Once again, thank you, Don and Barb, for your time today and your stories. Your time and involvement in the state and community is inspiring, so listeners, don't forget to attend events and get involved. Meet the Beatties if you haven't yet. They're great people. And as always, thank you again for listening to Nebraska on Tap. You can always find us on our Facebook at Middle Republican NRD. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and X. I hope everybody has a great day. We'll talk to you later. See you next time. Bye-bye.